The title of our lesson today is A Call to Harvest. And those of you that were here last week know that our lesson last week was A Call to Sowing. And I had always in my mind kind of thought of these two things as just kind of an example of working for God and kind of interchangeable. But as I tried to study this, it came to my mind that last week when we were studying A Call to Sowing, we were more concentrated on supporting our brethren, giving God, paying our financial obligations to God. And it seems that this week it's more of a reaching out to the lost. And so it kind of makes me stop and think that harvesting and that sowing and harvesting, in a biblical sense, there is some difference there, just as it is in a natural sense. You know, that you sow the seeds, you plant them in the ground, and you harvest in the fall, you reap the crops. So it's not necessarily all just, it is all service to God, but a different type of service being represented here. Now that I've probably thoroughly confused you, I'll read the lesson text out of our Sunday school book. And this comes from the book of John, 4th chapter, verses 30 through 37. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And the lesson key today, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now, what has happened here, the disciples are saying to Jesus, Lord, take something to eat, nourish your body. And Jesus replied to them that he has meat, that is nourishment, sustenance, that they don't know about. And they turn to one another and they say, well, has somebody given him something to eat? Did something happen that we didn't know of? And Jesus perceived their thoughts there in their head, and he said that to do the will of God is what is sustaining him, that he is doing the job that he sent here for, that God has sent him for. He is doing that, and that is what keeps him going, to finish the work that he has been sent to do. Now, as I studied this and I read some of the, well, let me just go and read this on page 33. It says, about halfway down the page, it says, willing subjects. It says, are we willing to pray for laborers? Are we afraid God will give us a task that we do not want? And as I read that and I stopped and I thought, well, I hate to say it, but yeah, I am a little bit afraid sometimes. I'm hesitant because I'm afraid God's going to want me to do something that I don't want to do. And I think that might be a natural tendency of us as God's people, because as Cindy said earlier, she spoke about getting outside of her comfort zone, and Dylan preached on that, you know, getting out of our comfort zone. And I'm afraid God's going to want me to do that sometimes. I don't have too much of a problem standing up here in front of y'all and talking and reading the Bible and telling you what I believe, and that's relatively easy, not real easy. I don't really like to stand up in public, but since I know y'all, it's not quite as hard. It's much more difficult to stop and think that God might want me to approach somebody that I work with and talk to them. And it's a whole lot more difficult to think that he might want me to go up to somebody at a convenience store or a grocery store, just out in public, and talk to that person. I'm really afraid if God impressed upon me to do that, that I'd let him down. And so when it says here, when the Sunday school writer says, are we afraid God will give us a task? Yes, I'm afraid he might. But the thing is, we stop and we think about people that weren't afraid in times past. And then we also look back into the times when these scriptures were written that I'm reading about. We know that the persecution the church came under. And I have to believe that the reason for that persecution was because those people were just like I am. They didn't want to go out. They wanted to group together and have their Sunday school. They wanted to feel the Spirit of the Lord, and they wanted to talk to each other, I think. And that wasn't going to get the gospel spread. It wasn't going to get that out to people in 100 miles away from them that didn't know anything about the gospel. So the persecution was necessary for them to go out and to sow this gospel and to harvest what other Christians may have sowed in the past. And I spoke earlier about the lesson last week and how it was somewhat more of a financial thing of us giving. I don't want to leave you with the thought that that's all there was. Sometimes Jimmy may be out and he may talk to somebody or do some action or something and affect a person, and then later on I may cross that same person's path and reap the harvest of something that he's sown, a spiritual reaping of his spiritual sowing. So it can take two different paths and meanings there, the sowing and also the harvesting. But going back here to this being a willing subject, we as God's people need to be willing subjects. I need to be a willing subject, willing to do what God's will is. And it says here, Jesus saith unto them, this is the 34th verse, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. His substance, what sustained him, what kept him going, was to do God's will. We today, as God's people, that needs to be what keeps us going. Now, unfortunately, sometimes that's not the case. And again, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for you. I don't know what drives you. But a lot of times, I just tend to get caught up in things of the world. I tend to get caught up in my job, doing things at the house, whatever comes along. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand that those are things that are necessary. We do have to put forth some effort and some thought into our daily lives. And I don't think the Bible is teaching that we can totally turn our backs on things of the world. But we need to have our priorities set. And that's where I'm sometimes fail, is to prioritize God at the very top of the list above all things. That's what I need to do. And let's understand these things. Let's think about them. Let's be clear that the times that we live in, we talk about the bad shape that our country's in sometimes, and it is. I mean, I'm not going to try to belittle that. But that just means it's that much more important for us as God's children to stand up for what's right. As the preacher said last Sunday, a lot of y'all were here and y'all heard Brother Aitkins, and I have to say he gave a really good sermon, and he pretty much laid it out for us. We have to be willing to stand up. We have to be willing to say what's right and what's wrong, and not in a manner that's an in-your-face type of thing so much as just to stand our ground, to just say, I don't agree with that. This is what the Bible says. It says it plainly, and be ready to turn to a passage to support our beliefs, our thoughts. That's where the studying of the Bible comes in, so that we can, when we're approached with something, we can turn to the Bible and say, no, this contradicts that point of view, that people saying things that are evil and they say they're right, and things that are right they say they're evil. I know that the Bible teaches us in Isaiah that day is going to come, but I can't turn to it right off the bat. I could find it. It'd take me a few minutes, but I know that the Bible tells us, prophesies, Isaiah prophesied that day was coming, and I believe that day is here right now in our country, because things that we believe are the truth are condemned. We're told that we're wrong, that our way of thinking is evil, and things that are wrong that we know the Bible teaches us not to do, those things are being put forth as being right. We need to be willing to stand up for what's right. I'm getting a little bit off of our lesson text today, our subject, but that just came to my mind, and the preaching that I heard last Sunday brought that back to my mind. Jesus goes on to say in the 35th verse, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now this was back in a time when the Lord was still walking upon the earth. He says the fields are white, ready to harvest. They're even more so today. The harvest is, we're even further into the season of the harvest today than has ever been at a time. And I say that because we're closer to the end of time. We're closer to the time when the Lord is going to say, enough, it's over with. Call my people home. Put an end to it. This is the time when we as God's people need to be spreading the gospel. We need to be talking to people and living our lives in a manner that they can see, whether we talk to them or whether we just live as an example for what's right by being a moral people, an upstanding people, a people that believes in God. But he said back then the fields were white already for harvest. We can look around today at all the different denominations, all the churches, the people that are attending those churches. Most of those people are searching for something. They're looking for something. They have a need, a desire to find something. Now, I said most of those. I'm afraid that a lot of them are just going to be entertained. And the reason I say that is the success of these mega churches where I haven't been to them, but I've talked to somebody that had been, and it kind of sounds like a great social club type gathering where you go and you can play some games, you can talk to each other, cut up, have a good time, maybe see a film or something, just be entertained. Those people, I don't believe, are going there they're not searching for a spiritual blessing. They're searching for entertainment, just like you might go to the movies or go bowling. Just an entertainment thing, and so that's a little bit different. But the majority of the people that are going out and going to your more traditional churches, your Methodist churches, your Church of Christ, Catholic, different denominations that have that are putting forth that this is where God is, then the people that are attending those churches, they're looking for something, and we as God's people have what they're looking for. We have the Spirit of the Lord in our churches. And we need to have the Spirit of the Lord out in our daily lives that they might see it, that they might be able to go, well, you know, I'm not really getting what I'm really searching for at this church that I'm attending to. This building that I'm going in every Sunday, it's not fulfilling the need that I have. But it looks like he has it. He's got it. I need to go. I need to talk to him. I need to follow him someday and see what's going on. That's the type of people that we need to be. That's how we can harvest what others have sowed. You know, I spoke a few minutes ago about Jimmy or Billy or somebody may have contact with somebody. They may sow a seed with some person, and then later on, maybe one of us can come around and also bear witness to the Lord that person might understand what they've encountered in the past, and they might see something and be saved. The point on all that is that we don't know where God's working. We don't know who he's dealing with out in the world. We don't know what's going on. We as his people need to trust him. We need to have faith in what he's doing. And I like what Cindy said earlier in her, when she stood up and she said she wanted to not move until God told her to, and then she wanted to move for sure in the way that he wanted her to move. That's what we all need to be. That's where we need to be, following his leadership and moving when he says move and stopping when he says stop, because that's the only way that it's going to work out right. That's the only way we're going to heed this call to harvest here. This reaping of lost souls is only going to occur through the leadership and the Spirit of the Lord. And so I think that's really important. It's really easy to sit down and take it easy and grow complacent. And it's also fairly easy to jump up and say, hey, I'm going to do something, and strike out on your own and have good intentions but not be led by the Lord. And that's a dangerous thing. That's what we as God's people need to avoid. But we also need to avoid that just sitting back and growing complacent. The Bible teaches us, woe to those that are ease in Zion. We're God's people. We're Zion. And it's saying, woe to us that grow complacent, that grow okay with the things that are about us, the sin that's in the world, to just grow okay with it. Because we have an example in the Old Testament of someone that did that, Lot. And we see what happened with him, how that affected his family. And it's not, I won't go into it because I know that y'all all know what happened, the story there. I'm sure that Lot's in heaven right now. I believe he was a saved man. He was a saved individual. The rest of his family, I'm not so sure about. But we know that the rest of his family, they paid a heavy cost because he, as a saved person, was okay with the things that he was surrounded by. He was okay with living in that city and just kind of turning his head and going on his way and enjoying the things, because I think they had some good things in that city, some comfortable things. They had probably an easy life there, but it wasn't something that was pleasing to God, and I don't believe he followed the will of God. And in contrast, Abraham, I believe, followed the will of God. The Bible teaches us that he searched for a city that was to come, not a dwelling place here upon earth. And he looked out and he kind of took what would appear to be a rough path, not a land that was really green pastures, but the Lord blessed him, and his family did well. Now, that's not to say they didn't have problems, but nevertheless, to contrast how things turned out for his family versus how things turned out for Lot's family is eye-opening, and it shows us how important it is for us as God's people to serve God, to obey him, to follow after what it is he'd have us to do. I'm just about done here. I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments?
It's a hard thing to do, Terry.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I struggle with that a lot because I'm just not able to do that. I wish I could, and I know I can't, but I battle that all the time about being able to talk to somebody outside that comfort level that you
right.
Feel around yourself. It's just a tough thing to do.
I mean, I'm exactly in the same, maybe worse than you. I mean, it's difficult to talk to, for one thing, people that you know is kind of hard. People that you don't know is really hard. And I can't put it any other way other than that I don't do very well at all with it. And but we need to. I mean, that's not good. I mean, God doesn't look down, I don't believe, and say, well, yeah, it was hard, Terry. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I don't think that's the way it is. I've thought about, why am I like that? What causes that? And the only thing that I could come up with is pride. Because they're not going to stone me. They're not going to put me in jail. They're not going to, probably not going to reach out and hit me, although that is possible. But what's really likely to happen is they're going to go, man, you're stupid. Yeah, that's silly. They're going to turn to somebody and say, you hear that? Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what's realistically kind of scary for me that they're going to laugh at me. And that's not okay for me to allow that to be. But, you know, just to be honest with you, that's what really stops us, stops me.
I'm at the wrong.
And it comes down to pride.
He had a good example of Christ, though. He didn't let that bother him.
No. And he was persecuted in a way that we don't have to really worry about. There may be a time coming when we have to worry about it. I don't know. And you can study history and you can see where people were persecuted in that same way. I don't think they were worried about being laughed at. They may have had some concerns about being burned at the stake, but they did it anyhow. And that's really the way that we ought to be. If there's nothing else, let's keep the preacher in our prayers. The Lord might be with him today. And I'll ask Brother Don if he would to dismiss us.
Give us of our sins, or short of them in this days. Be with the preacher today.